jewishaudio on kabod.org.
Bava Hashem, we are learning Bava Metziah Daf Samach Beis. We left off on Daf Samach Beis, Amid Aleph, 9 lines from the top of the Amid. We started on Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, quoting a machlokes Amoraim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan regarding Ribis Ktsutza, which means pre-arranged Ribis, which is Ribis Min HaTorah, Ribis Midoraisa. The question is, if a person violated this prohibition and they took the interest, whether they are obligated through Dayanim to return the interest that they wrongfully took. So Rabbi Lazar holds Yoitza B'Dayanim, and as we mentioned in the beginning of this Perek, and this is the Halacha. However, Rabbi Yechanan holds that Taka, like we said, Lotzeis Lidei Shamayim, you should return it to make good with Hashem. But a human court, a Beis Din, cannot force the guilty party who took it to have to return it. Says the Gemara Meisvei, we're quoting a Braisa, that will be a question against the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Says this Braisa, and we had this in Bava Kama, Hiniach lehem aviyem mo'ei shel ribis, if a person passed away, and he left in his estate money that we know for sure, money that was taken by the father as interest, ribis ktsutza. Afa pishayoidim shehem shel ribis, even when the heirs know for certain that this money is ribis money, einon chayavin lahachziron, the heirs, don't have to return it. End of Braisa. So therefore comes along the Gemara, and we're going to read the insertion of the Bach. Inu hu de ein chayavim lahachzir. So let's infer from this Braisa that the children, don't have to return it. Ha, what does that imply? That avuhain, back inside the Gemara, chayav lahachzir, that the father does have to return it. If not, because if the father himself also would not be obligated to return it, as is the Shita of Rebbe Yechanan, why didn't the Braisa speak about the principal himself? A bigger chiddush. Once you took it, it's taka sin, but you don't have to return it. Bidayonim. So answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan will tell you that bidinhu, that the emes is, the law is, the avuhain, nami loy mechayv lahachzer. Yeah, the father doesn't have to return it. Bidayonim. However, va'ay did the kaboy lemisna seifa, since the Braisa later is going to say the following. And now we're quoting the seifa of the Braisa. That hiniach lemaviyam paro, if the father left for them a specific item, for example, a cow, or a talis, a garment, or v'chol davar hamasuyim, or any distinct item that everyone knows was taken by the father as ribis, here the Braisa says, chayav lahachzir, the children have to return it. Why? Not because of Lilchas Ribis, but because of the laws of Kibud Avaim, which continues even after the passing of one's parents. Bepnei Kaved Avihem. Kaved here means, in order for the father not to continuously undergo the shame by people looking at this item and saying, ah, that item that their father took for Ribis, they have to return it. So therefore, the contrast is between money versus a distinct item. And therefore concludes the Gemara, explaining Rabbi Yechanan, Tani Nami Reisha Bididu. The Braisa in the Reisha also is speaking about the children, but Be'emes, even the father, who takes, God forbid, Ribis Ktsutza, he, Rabbi Yechanan, stands his ground as Eino Yoitze B'dayonim. Asks the Gemara, hold on, Vahani, are you telling me in the Seifa, Bepnei Kvoid Aviyim, Mi Machayev, are the Chayev to give it back simply because they're obligated to honor their father? Frek, the Gemara Kri Kan, why don't we read here, and we are quoting a Pasuk in Mishpatim. We had this not that long ago. The Pasuk reads, V'nasi Ba'amcha Loisar, that a leader amongst your nation don't curse. And we quoted previously the Gemara in Sanhedrin Samachvav that says that even though the Torah speaks about a Nasi, it doesn't dafka mean a Nasi. One is not allowed to curse any Jew. Or let's word it differently, every Jew is a leader. So Nasi means you can't curse a Jew. And the question is, why did the Torah have to use the words Amcha? The Torah could have said, V'nasi loisar, don't curse a leader. And from that we have the Limud Ba'amcha comes to tell you that you know to what Jew are you prohibited to curse? Only Ba'oisa Masei Amcha, only if a Jew is behaving by observing Torah mitzvahs, and we are applying the same concept not only to the law of cursing, but also to the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. And by the way, there is a machlokes in Rishonim, which goes all the way into halacha lemaisa, whether we actually paskin this way. In other words, if one has a parent that is not yet observant, especially if they are halachically guilty for not being observant, it's not from ignorance whether the children are obligated in kibud av v'aim or not, but our Gemara is going through the opinion that there is no obligation of kibud av if the father is not oisei maisa amcha. So hold on, if the father took ribis and ketsutza, so then what's the mitzvah of kibud over here? Answers the Gemara, just like kid amar Rav Pinchas b'shmei d'Rava, just like Rav Pinchas in the name of Rava says elsewhere. Parenthetically, there's a whole machlekes who exactly said it. Is it Rav Pinchas in the name of Rava? You can look on the side in the, we have either, or in the, Rav Pinchas in the name of Rav Papa. In Chagiga, the Gemara says Rav Pinchas says this in the name of Rav. And here he quotes in Bava Kama, it just says, Kedama Rav Pinchas. But just like he said, that Sha'asa Tshuva, Eino Hanami. That if the parent would not have made tshuva before he passed away, then there's no obligation for kibud av v'aim. But the case here is only if and when he did tshuva. Hachinami, here also Rabbi Yechanan will explain the b'raisa b'sha'asa tshuva, when the father did tshuva. So right away asks the Gemara, e asa tshuva? If the father did tshuva, my boy gabei, then why did the father still have in his possession the para or the talis or any other distinct item? He should have returned it. Now hold on. We are learning all this explaining Rabbi Yechanan. What does Rabbi Yechanan hold? That even ribis ketsutza, eino yoytze bedayanim. So what's the question in the Gemara? The father did tshuva. Rabbi Yechanan holds eino yoytze bedayanim. That's why he didn't give it back. But that's not a question at all. Again, even according to the opinions that hold that ribis ketsutza eino yoytze bedayanim, but lotzeis lidei shamayim, you are obligated to give it back. And that's the meaning of tshuva. Tshuva's taka not only ben adam lamakim, but it's not only ben adam lachaveri. Tshuva is both. So if he did tshuva, lotzeis lidei shamayim, the father should have returned it. Answers the Gemara, it must be shalei hispik lahachzir ad shemeis. He did tshuva. He didn't have an opportunity to return it. He passed away before that opportunity was given to him. And then the Braisa tells you the children have to return it b'pnei kavod aviyim. However, if the children inherited money, even though we know the money is from ribas ketsutza, not only do the children not have to return it, that's l'kula alma, even according to Rabbi Elazar, but l'shitas Rabbi Yechanan, not even the father has to return it bidayanim. Again, the Gemara is going to attempt to refute shitas Rabbi Yechanan. Meisvei, we are quoting another braisa. Hagazlanim, robbers, umalvei ribis, and people who lend money on ribis, af al pisha govu, even though they already collected, machzidim, they have to return it. So Kedem Kol asks the Gemara, before we go against Rabbi Yechanan, Gazlanim, Malva Beribis, it makes sense, Pashat. Someone lent money, he took interest, so the Torah says, return it. Gazlanim Afal Pisha Govu, even though they collected, what does that mean by a Gazlan? Mimanavshach, Gazlanim Mai, Afal Pisha Govu Ika. It's not possible, Igazl, if the guy stole already, so then Gazl. Okay, so a Gazlan should return his theft. Should return his robbery. Now, if he did not steal yet, so gazlanim kodis lahu, he's not called a gazlan yet. What's the gevia by a gazlan? It doesn't work. Clarifies the Gemara, ela ema, gazlanim, that when the Braisa spoke about a gazlan, the Braisa clarified itself. Let's add the insertion of the Bach, the Vav, umayninu, umayninu, and what's the meaning in this Braisa of a gazlan? There's the Braisa is only speaking about a case of a malve ribis. And on that, the Braisa says, "Afal pisha gavu machzirin." Even though they collected ribis, they have to return it. So clearly, you see that ribis ktsutza is yoytze bedayanim, and this is a proof to Rabbi Elazar and a kasha against Rabbi Yechanan. So answers the Gemara Tanoyehi. Rabbi Yechanan will tell you, "Eina chanami." This Braisa can only be explained shitas Rabbi Elazar. How can I argue with a Tana? I have another Tana to rely on. The Tanya, as we learned. And here the Gemara begins to quote the Seifa of the Braisa, and we will extrapolate ourselves the Reisha. Begins the Braisa and the Seifa, that Rabbi Nechemia and the great Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say, that Poitrin es hamalva ve es ha'arev, that a lender or an arev won't get malchus if they violated the law of ribis. Why? Bepnei sheyesh bahem kumvase. You know, there's a rule that's called a lav shenitak la'asei, doesn't demand malchus. Like we spoke out in the beginning of this pedek, if a person is a robber, he won't get malchus. I loy sigzoil. Well, v'heishav esak zeila. So Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hold that if a lender apparently took ribis, if a arev, now what's the case of an arev? So let me quickly say that there are two types of arevs. We'll learn a lot about this in Mesechtas Bava Basra. We're going to understand this braisa is referring to what we call today an arev kablin, which means that if someone lends money and there is a guarantor, there is a type of a guarantor that can say that when you, the lender, come to collect, you can come to me first. You can go to the borrower, you can go to me. So let's speak about a case where the lender lent money to a borrower. He went to collect first from the arev. Now think about it, when the arev gives money to the lender, so what do we call him right now? On one hand, he's like the borrower. He was the one that got bitten from if he paid ribis. But on the other hand, the arev doesn't go to sleep. After the arev pays his guarantee to the lender, he becomes like the new lender to the borrower. He's going to collect the money from the borrower, not with this document. And if he paid ribis, he's going to demand from the original borrower compensation with ribis. So here also, if now the arev received from the borrower the compensation for what he laid out, the money with ribis, neither of them get malchus because sheyesh behem kum va'asei, which l'chora would mean because since they're obligated to pay it back. If they pay it back, then they rectify the lav of not taking ribis, and whenever you rectify the lav, you don't get malchus. And all of this will be shitasu, shitas Rabbi Elazar, that holds that yoytze b'dayanim. Now the Tanakhama disagrees. The Tanakhama holds that even the malve, even the arev, they get malchus. Why would the Tanakhama hold? So l'chora, because they will hold taka the way Rabbi Yechanan says later, that eino yoytze b'dayanim. Since eino yoytze b'dayanim, it's not called a lav shenitak la'asei, a lot more in a moment. So first of all, the Gemara says, my kum vasei, what's the meaning of the braisa kum vasei? Lav mishum domrin elu. Is it not that Rab Nechemia and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hold that even if they already took the ribis based on demands of the malve and of, or of the arev, which is now mamash a malve, kumu ahadoiru, go and give it back. And the Tanakhama holds that we don't tell that to them, which would explain the reason why the Tanakhama holds you always get malchus. So l'chora, this is a machlekes tanaim, which would be good for Rabbi Yechanan, because we had a braisa before that clearly holds that yoytze b'dayanim, and here he can rely on shitas Tanakhama. If l'chora, the way we're learning now is that if you are obligated to give it back and you give it back, then you rectify the sin and therefore you don't get malchus. Says, in other words, michlal, the Tanakhama, who holds that you always get malchus, so that will be good. That's Rabbi Yechanan. So says the Gemara, loy. Now, loy is not a refutation against Rabbi Yechanan. Loy would mean that Rabbi Elazar not only has whom to lean on, the previous braisa, here Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar is going to say, all of the Tanoim hold the way I hold, that yes, yoytze b'dayanim. And the machlekes between the Tanakam and this braisa and the Tanoim, Rav Nechemia, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is not the way you understood it. That my kum asei, the braisa is not speaking about a case where the malva actually took ribis. And let's speak out what the Rishonim say, beginning with Rashi. Let's read Rashi, Divrei HaMaschil Loi, inside. It's already a little bit towards the top of the Amid. It's like a third down. Loi zak Rashi lo oilam emalachim gava. I will tell you, says Rabbi Elazar, that if the malva, if the arev already late paid, or they took from the borrower ribis, divrei hakoil einoy mesukin b'chazorim in amalkis. It's not fixed, even though you have to return it. It's yoytze b'dayanim. This is important. But when the malva gives back the money of the ribis, you can't say that he rectified his sin. And let's just speak out how everyone explains Rashi. What will be the logic? When it comes to theft, the sin of theft is that the ganef deprived the victim from money wrongfully. If the sin is that I deprived someone from money, then when I return that money to them, I rectified the sin. The sin was I deprived, now I'm no longer depriving. However, when it comes to ribis, as we will continuously say, the malve and the loive both agree to it. And the loive agreed to pay ribis because it's worth it for the loive. So we're not going to call it a sin, ben adam l'chaveiroi, that the malva deprived the loive for money. It wasn't that. The Torah says you're not allowed to take interest. He took interest. Even though, according to Rabbi Lazar, he has to give it back to him, that doesn't fix the sin. The fact is, he took interest. And therefore, even though the rule will be, alav shenitek la'aseh is not a lav that has in it the penalty of malchus, even though yoytze bedayonim, the lav of ribis, will always have malchus on it, even though you have to return it, it doesn't fix the aveda. Eloma, let's continue on Ashi, the enka nitek la'aseh. So the question now will be, so what is the case of the Braisa? Where is there the machloikis between the Tanakama that says that there's always malchus? Ramnachem and Blazer ben Yaakov, let's go back inside the Gemara. That my kumase lekrei ashtara. We're speaking about a malva that wrote a document. In the document, they documented their agreement to charge ribis, and the loiv agreed to pay ribis. That document in itself, according to the Tanakama, demands malchus. Why would it demand malchus? So first of all, the Gemara is going to begin quoting a machlokes we had in Saita between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There they were speaking about a ksuba, if there's a doubt whether a woman is eligible for the ksuba, whether she gets it or not, and that's contingent. Do we state that if a document was written, shtar ha'asi ligvois kegavui dami or not? In other words, if we view a document as this document, the holder of the document is considered the one in possession already of the money. So the very fact that there is a document, he already, Kilo got the money, only here do we have this machlekes. Let's read it inside. My kosovan. In other words, what would that be? Ikosovan shtar ha'emid ligvois kegavidome. He says the Gemara. Okay, what will be the case? So the Tanakama holds that a shtar sha'asi ligvois kegavidome. And therefore, ripping up the document doesn't accomplish anything again. You already took the ribis. The fact that you ripped up the document, good for you. You have to do that. But the sin of writing the document is done. Malchus, if that's the case, of the Isurayo Frekti Gemara, what would ripping up the document help? Just like we just explained, that even though we're going to go that everyone holds Yoytze Bedayanim, but returning the ribis doesn't fix the Aveda, then ripping up the documents should also not fix the Aveda. So it must be, that the Tanaim hold that it's not considered collected. Well, the problem is, if it's not considered collected, then why would you get Malchus? There should be no enachanami, you should rip up the document. But why would anyone hold that you get malchus? Is lo yavid v'lo klum? Clarifies the Gemara lo oilam, kosavar. Everyone holds, taka like shitas Beis Hillel, which is also already better. Everyone goes according to Beis Hillel. Shtar ho'emed ligvay slavka gavidami. Just having a document is not tantamount to the holder of the document to already have collected that value. Which is why holding the document is not the problem. For Hakamash Malan, there's another issue, whether Shuma or Suma Milsihi, whether the very imposition of Ribis is significant. It's taken not like collected. If Ribis is collected, even though you have to return it, it's not called a Lafshanitik La'aseh. But having a document is something in between. In other words, the Tanakama is going to hold Shuma Milsihi. No, the imposition, the demand is something. That's the lav
of the shtar
on the borrower that he's mechuyev now. He undertook to pay ribis. That in itself is such a sin. Even ripping it up doesn't resolve it. Yechayev malchus. Here's where Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov will hold that the shuma or the suma in itself is not a milsa. Now you have to rip up the document. And if you don't rip up the document, what will happen? You're going to end up using it. And when you use it, you're going to violate ribis and you're going to get malchus. All they say is, if you didn't collect it yet and you rip it up, you're not chayv malchus yet. And says the Gemara Hachinami Mistabra, to explain that Shitas Tanakama, that you're chayv malchus for simply having a document, is not because you hold shtar ha'osi ligvois kegavidami. It's not mamash as if you already collected it, but nevertheless, you're simply chayv malchus for having such a document. Where do we find something similar? Ditnan, we find something similar in the law of ribis. That we're going to learn later in a Mishnah. Who violates the lav? And by the way, and therefore get malchus. But who violates the lav? The malve, the loive, the arev. Again, if it's an art of kablin, let's go with that opinion. And the edim. Now hold on. The malve, the loive, and the arev make sense. They are actively involved in paying or receiving ribis. What did the Edom do? The Edom are not taking an action of ribis. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says that the Edom are also chayiv. They're violating the law. It's a charaya. So Mishlemi kulu avud ma'asei. They broke an asei. Ela Edom ma'yavud. What did the Edom do? There's no action. It must be ela shmamina. Shuma milsehi shmamina. That the simple fact that there is a document that imposes on a loiva to pay ribis, even though a shtar is not viewed as already collected, but the imposition, the lien, that in itself is a violation. And that is the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Nechemia and Elazar ben Yaakov. In other words, what Rabbi Elazar accomplished is that he explained this braisa l'kula alma. Now again, this doesn't refute Rabbi Yechanan, but as we'll see right now in the Gemara, that actually the rule will be, and that's the halacha, that ribis ketsutza yoytze bedayanim. However, if the ribis is only midrabanan, even there, lotzeis lidei shamayim, the party that took ribis midrabanan should return it, but you can't enforce it in Beis Din. It's eino yoytze bedayanim. And now the Gemara is going to word this with a very important rule. Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra shared the following klal. Kol she'ilu bedineim moitziim miloiva lamalva. Wherever, by a goyish court, one would demand for the borrower to pay the lender. In other words, whenever they made a loan, and they agreed when they made a loan, you're going to give me interest, and they documented it. So if the malva would take this to a goyish court, they would say, you're mechoyv, you undertook an obligation. It's a normal obligation. So it's against the din Torah, but it's not a sinful obligation. Pay up. That is how we will define ribis ktsutza, or ribis midai raisa. And ribis midai raisa, the moment you're violating Torah ribis, you have to give it back. That is where we say that bidineinu, in a Yiddish court, in a Jewish court, that was prohibited, and if you actually took that interest, then machzirin mimalva loiva, the Beis Din will force you to give it back. However, kol she'ilu b'dinayim, ein moitzin miloiva lamalva, wherever there was an agreement that is not enforceable in a non-Jewish court, we're speaking about a court that wants to do the just thing, but they don't have an isra against ribis. And even, like we mentioned, even al pidin toira, when it comes between Jews and non-Jews, there is no ribis prohibition. We're allowed to pay ribis, and we should charge ribis. So wherever the goyim would not enforce the laws of paying up that agreed interest, oy bazoy, it's not called ribis ketsutza. And if it's not called ribis ketsutza, then the rule will be bidineinu. When it comes to a Jewish court, ein machzirin mimalva loloiva, you would not force the malva to give it back, because ribis, or avak ribis, or any other type of ribis midrabanan, is ein yoytze bedayanim. Now, he didn't use these words, that ribis ktsutza, yoytze bedayanim. He didn't say, ribis she'eni ktsutza, ribis medrabanan, is not yoytze bedayanim. He gave this klal. Wherever the goyim would enforce payment, that's called ribis, which has to be returned. Wherever the goyim don't enforce... Also, now the Gemara is going to give you the examples in Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis in a moment, but the Gemara is going to right away challenge that. Frek the Gemara, Amar le'abayit Rab Yosef v'klaluhu, is this indeed a rule? No. V'harei sa b'sal, quickly reviewing, what is that? That if a person borrows a commodity and they agree, I'm getting a pound of flour, now I'm going to return the pound of flour. That was their agreement. And if that was done before the market price came out, and if it was done before, when the one who's borrowing doesn't have his own additional saza flour, so it's mamash alone, he needed it, he doesn't have access to it, you can't get it in the market, and he's agreeing that when the market will start selling this commodity, he'll give back that same amount. Midai raisa, it's not ribis. Because ribis means that when you give the loan, you prearrange interest. Who says it's going to be interest? Not only might there not be interest, it might be lahepech. It might be that when he gives back the saw is cheaper. Could be. However, since it's possible that when he gets the saw flour, that quantity was worth a dollar. When he's going to give it back, it might be then $1.20. So it might come out that he'll give back more than he received. So the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to do it. Now the din is that the bidineim. No. We'll get to that later. The bidineim moitziim miloiva lamalva. If they made such an agreement, lend to me a pound of flour, and I'll give you back next month a pound of flour. If that was our agreement, a goyish court will enforce it. However, since we consider this only ribis midrabanan, first of all, another good rule, over here, because it's not certain that there's going to be ribis, and ubidineinu ein machzirim imalva l'olayva. So Rab Safra's rule is not correct. So Amar Lei, so responds Rabbi Yosef. Responds Rabbi Yosef to Abaya. No, that's not a refutation. Because when I borrow a sa'a, a flour, and I agree to give you back at a later date the same quantity of flour, the goyim don't view this as a loan, but they put this in the category of a pikadin. Which makes sense. So therefore, that's not a contradiction. The Rab Safra's klal was that wherever you have a scenario of a loan, where if they made an agreement and the goyim will enforce it, that's ribis, that bidinei nu, the yoytze bedayonim, it's not contradicted. And wherever the goyim, because this is enforced, not mitzad, they're going to say, give back the money that you borrowed, give back the sa'a that you borrowed. They view this as a pekadin. Even though, normally, when I am a custodian, I'm not allowed to use the thing that was given to me. Here, it's an unusual type of pikadin. Here, the shomer is going to use the flour up, but since he's returning mamish what he got, it's a commodity. I got a pound of flour, I'm giving back a pound. I got a pound of sugar, I'll give back a pound of sugar. It's viewed as a pikadin. Petaris pikadin asali yodi. One more refutation. I'll give you another example. That the goyim enforce something, but we do not view this as ribis ksutza. That case will...
Why do we care about this?
Because Rab Safra made that rule. That's his rule. We're trying to see if it fits. And we didn't even give out the examples where it does fit. But first, we're challenging it. What happens if someone lends money and they want collateral? And they take for their collateral a piece of real estate. A piece of real estate that has produce. Bagashmias. I take someone else's field that has a harvest every year. Now, there are two types of agreements. One type of agreement will be that I lent you $100. I'm taking as a mashk in your field. Let's say the value of the yield of this field per year is $10. So I tell you, if you pay me back the money right away, you take your field back. If you don't pay me back the money, then I'm going to take the yield, but I'm going to deduct it off the loan. That's for sure okay. So if I kept the money for a longer amount of time and I had your field for 2 years, so I got from you $20, you only owe me $80. That's kashir v'yashir. But there were times that the malva tells the loiva, you owe me $100. And I'm holding on to your collateral. And by the way, if you delay payment, then during the years that you don't get repay me, I'm going to eat up the produce and I will not deduct it off the loan. Now that, l'chura, is ribis. Because at the end, the loiva will have to give him back $100. And in the meanwhile, he also got the yield of that field. Says the Gemara, in a case where there's a mashkanta beloy nechayasa, without it getting deducted off the principal loan amount. If that was their agreement, they will demand. No, what would happen if the borrower ate the fruit? The lender will tell him, I'm sorry, borrower, the field is yours, but that was our agreement, that it's I am holding on to your field as a mashkin, and I get to eat the fruit. They will force the borrower to pay the lender. Turning the page. Ubedinayim, but by yas, samach beizam et beiz, this is important. Ein machzirim imal vol olayvam. If he taka took the yield, we will, whether it is $10 or the whole, whatever the amount is, he will not be forced bidayonim to give it back. Why not? Because ribis ketsutza is only when for sure, when you lend the money, you know you're going to get interest. When I take a mashkin in a field, and there is an agreement that I'm going to also have, eat the yield, and not deduct it off the loan, who says the field is going to give any produce? You don't know that. It's not for sure prearranged, which is why it's ribis midrabanan. And it's not yoytze b'dayonim. So this again challenges Rab Safra's klal. So Amar Lei, Rav Ashi answers to Ravino that the goyim who will enforce this agreement do not view this as an interest agreement or as a loan agreement. You know how they look at it? Which also makes sense. They look at it as a sale. Because if I lend you $100 and your field is worth $100 and I take your field as a mashkin and I get to eat the produce, we don't view it as a loan. We view it as a sale. I gave you $100, you sold me your field. There's one caveat, that I don't have the right later to keep this field forever. If you're going to give me back $100, then I have to resell the field for you. But during that time, when I was eating the yield, I was eating my own. So it's also not a case of a loan where the goyim enforce, where the psafra has the rule. If they enforce it, it's asr midoraisa. Amr alei, inu b'toiras vini asr liyodayu. They view it as a sale. And Apsafra is speaking about a loan. And now the Gemara and Ushlema will clarify the case of Rab Safra. Ella kol she'ilu b'dinem d'ka'am Rab Safra ma'yasi lashma'inan. What will be the cases? So this is the rule. Hachi asi lashma'inan. Kol she'ilu b'dinem v'tziya miloy v'lamalvam. Wherever the goyim, when there was a loan on interest, wherever they will enforce the parties to keep their agreement, because that was what they agreed to. B'dineinu machzirem miloy v'lamalvam. That is called ribes ktsutza. That if they actually fulfill their agreement, which is illegal by halacha, by Torah standards, our dayan will force for the party who took the interest to give it back. My ninu, pashit ribes ktsutza. In a case of pre-arranged ribes. Pre-arranged ribes is when there's certainly going to be ribes. I am lending you $100. Every month, I'm taking X percent. That's called ribes ktsutza. And Uchid Rabbi Lozer, like Rabbi Lozer holds. No, it's not like Rabbi Yechanan. Let's not forget that Rabbi Yechanan holds that even by Ribes Ktsutza, Einu Yoytze B'dayonim. So Rabbi Safra holds like Rabbi Lozer. Now, Kol She'ilu B'dineim Ein Moitzin B'dineinu Ein Machzirim. What will be the case that he was speaking about? That if Goyim don't enforce it, then we cannot force the Malva to return it. What will be that case? Let's insert the Bach Umay Nihu Ribis Mugdemis Ribis Mucheres. We're giving one example of Ribis Midrabanim. We spoke this out in our introduction to this Pedic. Ribis Mugdemis means advanced Ribis. Ribis Mucheres means subsequent Ribis, which means that if the Ribis exchanged hands not during the time of the loan. So, for example, Ribis Mugdemus would mean, I know that I'm going to ask you for a loan tonight. I know that. And I want you to say yes. So today I give you a gift. Ribis Mucheres means that you gave me a loan interest free, and I gave you, returned the money. After I returned the money, now I'm going to give you a gift as gratitude. And again, we spoke out the Tosfos in Gittin that says that after Zman Muflag, that after I returned the loan, after a Zman Muflag, and when we quoted that Paiskim says, Mamuflik means 30 days or more, I can give you a gift. It's not that forever I can never give you a gift, because it looks like Ribis. But in a case where it wasn't Zman Muflik, and I gave you a gift, that's not something that anyone can force me to do. The Goyim won't force me to give you a gift. It wasn't our agreement, which is Takawai. If I gave it to you, even though I violated Ribis Midrabanan, but here, Eina Yoytze B'dayonim. By the way, Ribis Mugdemes, Ribis Mocheres, not only is it Eina Yoytze B'dayonim, but you don't even have to Lotzei Sladei Shemayim to return it. When it comes to Avak Ribis, Taka Eina Yoytze B'dayonim, but Lotzei Sladei Shemayim, you have to return it. Ribis Mugdemes, Ribis Mocheres is even a lesser violation rabbinically. It's not even Lotzei Sladei Shemayim. Okay, so we are at the same place we started off our Perikin, and that's the Halacha. So again, this ribis ktsutza, that's the rule. Pre-arranged ribis. Certain, you're certainly going to get ribis, that is asr midoraisa. And then there was any time where a loan was given, that if during the giving of the money they did not then pre-arrange ribis, it's not going to be a case of doraisa. And even Rabbi Lozer will hold that eina yoytze b'dayonim. Absolutely, that's what we were learning yesterday. On both, and many lavin, and many lavin. And even on the Eidim, and even on the Ariv, everyone involved, and even on the Sofer, is violating the Isur of Ribis. Now,
if it's a
since it's not a sin, ben adam l'chaveiroi, we're never allowed to wrong a goy, but since a pre-agreed to interest agreement is not a sin between man and man, there's no Isur by a goy. This is an Isur that Hashem did not allow us to do between Jews. And now let's go back to the Mishnah. So let's go back now. We spoke out today, Sa B'Sa. Let's speak another case. Another case of a sale. Can I prepay for an item? Why not? So hold on. So if I prepay an item, this is called B'Lashon HaMishnah. It's called Psika Alapedis. I want to buy commodity from you. I want to pay now. Why do I want to pay now? So like this. Oh, normally, in the beginning of the season, when everyone's harvest is ready, that's the way it worked then, there was more produce, so therefore the price was cheaper. As the season went on, there was less and less produce. People still needed to eat, so the price went up. So I want to pay you now to lock in a less expensive price, which means it could be that I'm paying you now a dollar for a pound. When you deliver the pound then is worth $2. First of all, it's not a loan. That in itself already means it's not ribis d'oraisa. It's a sale. But it looks like ribis. Because I gave you a dollar and I'm getting something double. And why are you agreeing to do it? Why would you agree to lock yourself in? Because you, the recipient, you benefit that you have a dollar for many months. It's mamish like a loan. You agree to eventually give back something for, which is worth more because you had capital. So you're paying to have the capital by you for a certain amount of time, which is very similar to ribis. Now, on the psika, ala peiros, there are a couple of exceptions. There are times that I am allowed to prepay. Number one, if I'm buying something from you, and you, the seller, yeshloi, you already have it in your possession, which makes sense, because if I'm giving you money for this right now, and you have it in your possession, we view that I already own that. Now it's worth a dollar. I gave you a dollar and I'm getting a dollar's worth. You're doing me a favor. You're not delivering it to me now. You're delivering it to me. If the buyer has it. If the seller has it. No, if the seller has it. No, it's who's paying interest. The seller is like the borrower. It's interesting. You always remember that when there's a sale, the purchaser is the malva. I'm giving the money up front. Look at the money now. So the borrower is getting money and he's going to give something back later that's worth more. If the borrower, which is the seller, has the product right now, so we view as if the sale was already final. I gave you a dollar and I own the pound. You want to deliver it to me later, fine, but it's already mine. Then we learned, this is important, these steps, that even if the seller ain loy, if the seller does not have it, if yotza hashar, which means that this product is already, there's a set price for it in the market because it's available. What makes everyone has it, so even though the seller doesn't have it, but the seller can easily take the dollar that I gave to the seller and he can buy it. So that also takes away any type of rabbinic interest. That's also okay. When is it prohibited, midrabanan, if lo yotza hashar and ein loy? So it looks like ribis, because why did the seller agree to give me for that dollar a pound of sugar when he knows it's not certain, but it's possible that when it'll be available, it's going to cost him more money. He's agreeing because he needs cash now. So he's paying extra money to have cash. Oh. Now, let's push it, read inside the case of the Mishnah, and we'll see the challenge in understanding the Mishnah. And we already learned this well when we learned Daf Samach. Let's push it, go back to Daf Samach Amud Beis, and the Mishnah giving an example where there's only Tarbis without Neshech. And this again will clarify, this is only tarbis without neshach. Neshach means that a bite is being taken out of the one who's giving something in addition. In the example that we gave, that I'm prepaying, psika ala peiros, a forward contract, even when lo yotza hashar, even when ein loy, he's not getting bit. He's not getting bit. You can't say he's getting bit. The seller, which who's the borrower, he's getting money. You can't say he's getting bit. No, right now that's the price. Right now that's the theoretical price. It's only later he'll give something which then might have more value. Might have. It is marbis. Because the one who gave the dollar, if he'll get back that commodity when it's worth $2, he's getting more. His belongings are increasing. So the Mishnah gave an example. Now the Mishnah gave a very convoluted case. The Mishnah gave a very complicated case. And we have to figure out why. And before why, it doesn't seem to fit the rules that we just spoke out. Let's read the Mishnah. The second line of the Mishnah, Ezeu tarbis hamar bebepeiros. Hamar bebepeiros means psik ala peiros. Ketzad, lakachim enu chitim medinah zov akur. I'm reading the case the way it seems. That a buyer agreed to pay one golden dinar, which is 25 silver dinarim, to get from the seller one kur of wheat. And the Mishnah adds, v'chein hashar, and the market price already came out. What did we say? That even if the seller doesn't have it in his possession, since the shot is out, so the seller could have taken my dinar, I'm the buyer, and he could have right now bought it. So there's no ribis, not even midrabanan. That didn't happen exactly. He took the money and he used the money because he needed the money. And now, amdo achitim b'lam dinarim. Then time went on. You go further into the season. Less and less produce on the market. More and more demand. So now the price went up to 30 dinar. 30 silver dinar. So now is a good time for me. I'm the buyer. Now is the time that I want my wheat. I pay 25. Now I can get it and sell it for 30. So I go over to the seller. Omar Loi, the buyer, tells the seller, ten lichitai. Give me my wheat. And I tell you why. Not because I want to eat it. Now is the time that I can make profit. I want to sell it, and I can sell it for 30. And by the way, I don't even need the money. I want to buy wine because I know that now is a good time to buy wine. Because later, wine itself will get more expensive. So the seller of wheat tells the buyer, Herzachayim, I don't have wheat. You're telling me you want wine. Okay, let me exchange my debt of wheat into wine. Whatever the market price now of wine is, I'll give you in exchange of that wheat. And I owe you the wine. Here the Mishnah says that if the seller then does not have wine, if the yayin eloi, the Bach adds the words asr. Now that's ribis midrabanan. And the question is, obviously the shot of wine went out. Obviously, because if the shot of wine didn't go out, why did the Mishnah have to give such a complicated case? You began with wheat, you go to wine. There's already an established, there's wine available on the market for a fixed price. If there is no wine available for a fixed price, then me simply going over to a wine salesman and prepaying him and telling him, I'm giving you this amount of money for wine, that's ribis midrabanan already. So it's for sure that the shot is out. And if the shot is out, just like the Mishnah in the beginning when it spoke about the wheat, there's no problem with the wheat. Even though ein loy, since yatzah hashar, so who cares that the yayin ein loy?
But even if yatzah hashar, yayin, maybe that's still not
allowed. Why not? Why? How is this different than the wheat?
Because that wasn't what they were at the time. Who knows what the price was?
Okay. We'll see. Not because of that. Let's see inside the Gemara.
Why would he get extra
step? Or word it differently. Who cares that yayin ein loy, since yatzah hashar, again, if loy yatzah hashar, then the question is obvious, who needs the whole Fadrei Tamaisa? Begin with the wine. I cannot go over to you, Midrabanan, and give you a certain amount of money that we both agree to for you to give me wine. When wine becomes available with a fixed price in the market, that's Ribis Midrabanan. Because it might be that right now the wine is worth 30, and when you'll actually deliver it to me, it's going to be worth 31 or 40, whatever, more. That's Tarbis, that's Marbis, that's Ribis Midrabanan. So it must be that Yatzah Hashar on the wine. So why is it that by the chitim it was allowed and by the yain it's not allowed?
Is wine considered a universal price?
Yes, when the shahr comes out. Now the shahr can change, but the fact, like we explained, the fact that now it's available in the market. So even though the seller doesn't have it, he can take the money that he got and buy it now without any increase, without any neshech, it's not even ribis midrabanan. Let's read inside the Gemara. This is ribis midrabanan. The question is, why will it be ribis midrabanan if yatzah hashar, just like by the chitim, even though ein loy, there's no ribis midrabanan, wine should be the same thing. Yeah. The question is, what's? You don't want to hear the heads up. There's three answers. The first answer will be, when I'm buying, means when I'm giving money, which is for the wheat, since yatzah hashar, there's no ribis midrabanan. When he made the agreement for the wine, what was he paying with? He's paying with a debt. He was saying, I want to use money that you owe me. Once it's already considered a debt, that's already ribis midrabanan. In other words, when do we say that since yatzah hashar, it's a redeeming factor, we don't care you prepaying, that's if it's a sale. So that alone already is not ribis midrabanan, simply by the fact that Torah speaks ribis by a loan, and here it's a sale. But if I'm beginning with a loan, that will be the first answer. Let's read it inside. We're going to call this avak ribis, yeah. Oh, so v'hatanya frek the gemara, right? Ketzad, let's quote and read the whole thing. Ketzad, the gemara is referring back to the Mishnah. Lachachim enu chitim adiner zav hakur v'chein hashar v'chulei. And at the end, if ein lo yayin asin midrabanan frek the gemara v'chi ein lo yayin may have v'hatanya ein paiskan alapedis. This rule, you cannot make a forward contract. You cannot make a psika alapedis. You cannot prepay. As the Braisa will say, is only when there's no shar. Acha yetzi ashar, until there is a certain price.
Maybe also ashar. We said there's no shar.
No, there has to be a shara. No, Shlomi, if there's no shara by the wine, why did the Mishnah have to give such a complicated case? Just say this din, that if I prepay for wine and you don't have it, and lo yotza hashar, ribis mid rabbanan. Yotza hashar, once the market value came out, that means that you have this produce in the market and there's a standardized price, then I can prepay the current price. Even though you might deliver it to me later when the price is more expensive, that's not even ribis mid rabbanan. Because you got money, you can buy right now with that money that amount of produce. So the question is again on wine, since Yotza Hashar, what's the Isser? So the three answers: Rabba, Abaya, and Rava. That's Chaparain. Rabba answers. The answer is Masnisin Baval Lochoiv B'demei Maskinan Afra Ishkoyach. When you're buying money, when you're giving cash, it's a sale. That in itself is already less problematic. And on that, we give a heter that either if yeshloi, you're covered, or even if eloi, yotza hashad, it's keilu, you have it. But since in the case of me transforming the debt of wheat into a prepaid wine, that is already, I'm using loan money. Since you're starting with a chayv, even though if yeshloi, it also wouldn't be a problem. If yeshloi yayin, we're going to challenge this in a moment, it wouldn't be a problem. But if eloi, even though Yotza Hashar, it's considered Ribis Mid Rabbanan. Uche Detanyam. Now we're quoting a Braisa that clearly says this. And it clearly says that if you're not giving cash, the problem with this Braisa is, not only if Yotza Hashar are you not good, even if Yeshlo you're not good. That's going to be the problem. And what will be the logic of that? Because I'm not picking up the wine right now. You are agreeing to deliver the wine later. The moment you're not giving me the wine now, it could be that when you'll deliver it to me later, the price of wine will go up. So if you're starting out with a cash sale, that's not a problem. It's a sale. It's not shayach teribis. But if you're starting out with a loan, and it could come out that at the end I'm going to get more than keilu I gave you, or I lent to you, that's ribis midrabanan. Uche detanya. The loan is dani that I'm not giving you cash for the wine. That's why the Mishnah gave this whole Fadreita case. It's a complex case. I gave you cash for wheat. And since Yotza Hashar, even though Ein Loi, there's no Ribis Mid Rabbanan. But now when I come, I gave you a dinner, and you owe me that akoir. When I come to collect my wheat, even though now it's worth 30, no problem. Problem is, you don't give me the wheat. You don't have wheat. You don't even have wine. You're telling me, you know what, I owe you 30 sela. Instead of me owing you 30 sela of wine, I'm going to owe you 30 sela of wine. Instead of wheat, I'll owe you of wine. Right now, it's already a loan. I'm using money that you owe me to purchase something else. It's still a purchase, but I'm not using cash. I'm using a debt. It's already closer to a case of... I'm sorry? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with doing it, but not in a case. Even we're going to see here. Even if Yotza Hashar, according to this Brice, you're not allowed to do it. People are not used to that. People are used to, why not? Like sub a sub. People hear it the first time, they're shocked. I can't take a pound of sugar and give you back a pound of sugar. Same thing. The truth is, today, nowadays, you could do it because nowadays, Yotza Hashar, everything is available. But when there was lo yotza hashar, then you got a problem. Uche detanya, let's go. We have to chab. Harei shoy noishu bechaveri mana. If someone owes me a mana, you begin out with a debt. And v'alach v'amid al gerayne. And I'm the lender. I lend you money. You owe me money. I'm coming to collect my money. And I see you when you're standing in your thresh floor. You're standing in your field. And v'amad, and I, the lender, tells the borrower, teili ma'isai. I want my money, but I tell you, I want my money because I want to buy wheat. So the borrower says, oh, perfect. Oh, I don't have money, but I'll sell you wheat. I want to buy wheat. Okay, I have wheat. And evaluate that loan to the current value of the wheat. And I'm not going to deliver it immediately. I'll deliver it to you slowly. That's already Ribis Mid Rabbanan. Even though Yeshloi, that will be a problem on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says it's only Asur when Ein Loi. In other words, the key here is that what's the ultimate ribis midrabanan? I mean, how is there ribis here? That since I'm not picking it up now, see, if I lent you a dollar and I take payment with commodities that's worth a dollar, there's no problem. Once we agree that you don't have to deliver it to me now, it means it's considered a prepayment, it could be that when you will deliver it to me, that commodity will be more valuable. So I'm going to have marbis. I'm gonna increase. The lavki isare habaliyadi dami. It's not like me giving you cash. When I give you cash, then we say it's a sale. And if yatsa hashari, you're covered. But since I'm not giving you a cash, that's the reason why the Mishnah says it's asam midrabanan. And on that, amalei abaya, abaya challenges rabba. 1 second. Idoleki isare habaliyada. You're right. He's not giving him cash. When he's saying that the debt of wheat should be transformed into a debt of wine, it's taka not giving cash. He's beginning out one part. You can view this as I'm using loaned money. Why did the Mishnah say that only if ein lo yayin it's asur? We just quoted the Braisa that clearly says afilu yesh leinami, which is a huge question. And giving you a heads up, Rava, after we'll go through Abaya, will simply quote another Braisa. In other words, this Braisa doesn't fit with our Mishnah. Rava is going to find another Braisa that says that even when you're not giving cash, even by Yotza Hashar, if Eloi, it's a problem, but if Yeshloi, it's not a problem. Mamash the sheet of the Mishnah. And we all get the concept. Huh? It has to be Yotza Hashar. If Loi Yotza Hashar, then it's Ribis Midrabanan according to everyone. Very good. So Elam Rabaya, so Abaya is going to tell us a very important din, and we actually paskin like the din of Abaya, but Abaya's application of this din into the Mishnah is a big doichik, and ultimately it's not going to fit in the Mishnah. If you think that the case of the Mishnah is already a complex case, huh? Come to Abaya. Abaya says that the Mishnah skipped over the beginning of the case. So the case wasn't just that I bought wheat, I prepaid for wheat, and then when I come to collect it, then you say, you know, I owe you, now it's 30, I agree, I owe you 30, but I owe you 30 of wine. It started before. What's the before? Elam Rabbi. Masnisin has to be explained like we learned in a Braisa of Rab Safra that quoted the din that he learned in the Braisas regarding ribis that was taught in the yeshiva of Rab Chia. The Tani Rab Safra, ribis of Rab Chia, Yeshuvaram Shem Mutarim, there was a case that, as we'll speak out in a moment, that is completely permitted mitzad ribis va'asurim, but it is prohibited b'pnei haramas ribis because it looks like you're trying to evade, you're trying to make a subterfuge, you're trying to make a harama on ribis. Ketzad, what is the case? Amar loy halveni mana. I come over to you, I need money, I need cash. Can you please lend me $100? So amar loy, so the potential lender tells me the potential borrower has a kind money ainli. He can't help me. He doesn't have cash. However, chitim the mana yeshli. I have wheat in the value of a mana. Sha'ani noisim lecha. Now, what do I do if I take and need cash? What would be one option? I take this wheat and I sell it. Now, what were to happen if I, being desperate for cash, when I sell it, what happens if I'll sell it for less than a mana? First of all, is there any ribis here? No. Even though, if you lent me a mana's worth of wheat, I owe you $100. If I sell it now, I'm under pressure, and I sell it for 90, so it ends up coming out that I got 90, and how much do I have to pay back? 100. But here there's no problem. The question is, the one who lent me the wheat, can he buy it from me for less amount of money?
Buy it back.
So same thing. You lend me $100. Punished. I have $100 worth of wheat. Good. I take $100 worth of wheat. I'm desperately looking for a buyer. I need cash. And the guy who lent me the wheat tells me, you know what? I'll pay you $90. Midoy Raisa, no ribis happened. Midrabanan, no ribis happened. I can sell it to a third party. I can sell it to you. But it looks like ribis. Because at the end of the day, I got from you $90. What do I owe you? $100. So, and that person taka made the loan. Interest free. However, I need money. I don't need wheat. The example we're given here, a mana is 25 seller. Same thing. Mana is 25 seller. So the one who lent me 25 seller is saying, I can give you cash 24 seller. Which means at the end of the day, I got, it looks like ribis, I got 24 seller. I owe 25 seller. Mutar, really you're allowed to do it. both midraisa and midrabanan, but you're not allowed to do it because it looks like ribis. Looks like you're evading ribis. So Hachinami says, Abaye, this will be the case of the Mishnah, which is, look at this. The Mishnah begins in the middle of the story. The story began, Kigoin, the Omar, one person tells the other, Halveni Shloishim Dinarim. It didn't begin with 25 dinar, the golden dinar. I need 30 dinar. So Omar Lay, so the person, the potential lender, told the potential borrower, Herzachain, Shloishim Dinarim Ainli, I don't have 30 dinar. But I'm going to give you wheat that's worth 30 dinar. And you can see right away how this doesn't fit into the Mishnah. Because how did the Mishnah begin? That he gave him a golden dinar for 25. Here, the price was 30. Nothing, there's no ayna here. I'm giving you 30 dinar worth of money. Shani noisim lecha. And taka, that's what happened. And nasan lo yichitim b'shloishim dinar. It began by the wheat owner lending him 30 dinar worth of chitim. And now, he needed cash. So he tells this lender, do me a favor, buy back your wheat, I'll discount it, I need money. He sold it for 25 dinar. Now, by the way, how much money does he owe? He owes 30. And now the story continues. That one who lent him the $30 worth of wheat says, give me my 30. And I now tell you, Herzachain, I don't have wheat, but you want to get wine, I owe you now wine. So none of this is allowed. None of this is allowed because if he's going to end up, he got from him $25, which is what he did, and he's giving him back the value of 30. Now, we're going to explain why is it that if yesh lo yayin, it's okay, and why if ain lo yayin, it's not okay, as we'll read inside the Gemara. E is lechamer lo loivav. At the end, the borrower, the one who owes the 30, has commodity, he has wine. Diyavli b'shloishim b'dinar, that he'll give him back in 30 in dinar. What did he get in the beginning? Think about it. What did he get in the beginning? He got chitim. And a chanami, he turned that chitim into $25. But let's even look at that. He got the $25. What is he giving back at the end? If he has wine now. So it doesn't look like ribis. Still it doesn't look like ribis. Because it began with produce and he's giving back produce. And even if you're going to say he didn't really get produce because he right away sold it back, he got money. Okay, he got money and he's giving back produce. That's not as much as looking like ribis than getting money and I'm not even giving you back produce now. I'm giving you back a new debt, which will be prepaid, and it could be that when I give it to you, it's worth even more. In other words, if it's fruit, produce, for produce, that is given back right away, it doesn't even look like Aramas Ribis. Doesn't even look like Aramas Ribis.
So why to me this version of a complicated...
Because that worked out, he's just adding more complication, that the Mishnah justifies, if Yesh Lo Yayin, and he's going to give him back wine right now, so it doesn't look like Aramas Ribis. But if he doesn't have wine right now, then it's back to Aramas Ribis. Let's go inside. Peirohu de koshakol minei, because ultimately he didn't take cash. He didn't take $25. Let's not forget the beginning. In the beginning, he took produce worth 30. And he's agreeing now to give him back now produce now worth 30. So, no. That was because he sold it later, because he needed cash. You can't discount the fact that Ataka began as... Doesn't matter. That's only because of Haramas Ribis. But now look at the whole picture. If at the end he got produce, and he gives back produce, and when what he got was taka worth 30. The fact that he sold it cheap, that's on him. And he's giving him back now wine, that's taka worth 30. So there's no Ribis. But if I'm going to take chitim worth 30, and I'm agreeing to give you back wine worth 30, that's like sabasa. There is still a problem. Because it could be that when I will actually give you back the wine, it's going to be worth more than 30. So that's why the Mishnah differentiates whether yesh loy or ain loy. That's why it's only midrabanan, but it could be more. Ve'iloy, that's in any sabasa, it could be less. Ve'iloy, given the less lechamro, since he doesn't have wine now, and vade mishkol zuziminei, also don't forget the fact that he did take money from him. It didn't begin with money, but he took 25. And now he's not even giving him back produce now. So therefore, mechzakiribis. So Rav is going to tell Abaya, your din is correct, without the whole addition from the Mishnah. The case of you giving me a product and me reselling it to you for cheap, that's haramas ribis. True, that's not the case of the Mishnah. So the checkmate, Rava is going to ask at the end, from the opening line in the Mishnah. But we're going to first show you that discounting the first line that cannot be answered, all the other subsequent lines in the Mishnah have to be amended. Amalei Rava, Iachi, when it says, ten lichiti, give me my wheat, what was the whole case? How did it begin? It began by me needing money. It began, I need money. And you tell me, you can't lend me money, you can give me a wheat worth that money. When you're going to ask, what are you going to ask for back? You're going to ask money. What was the original agreement? Lend me money. You say, I don't have money, I'll give you a commodity worth 30 dinar. When you're going to demand payment, you're not going to ask for wheat back, you're going to ask for the value back. So why does he say, ten lichiti, demei chiti mi bayalei? So on that, Abaye will say, tenei demei chiti. That's what it meant. Vaiter, when it says, sha'ani moichran, because I wish to sell it, to turn it into wine, that's also not true. What was the case of the Mishnah? The wheat was actually sold already. He already got rid of the wheat. I sold you back the wheat for 25. Shemachartim loch ha-miboyele, it was already sold. Oh, tenei shemachartim loch. Still asks the Gemara, harechitim asuich loch ha-alai b'shleishim denarim, the wheat is transferred into wine. That's not true. Mikarinami hakim no'ilavi. There was no wheat now. There is no wheat to begin with. It's not that you have to give me wheat. So, achi kamerle, b'dmei chitecha, sh'asis olai b'shleishim dinar. Yeah, that you ultimately began owing me 30 dinar, that which you already owe me should be transferred into wine. And v'yayin ein loy. Now the question is, the checkmate. The beginning of the case that the Mishnah writes cannot be the middle of the story. Because this story, according to you, began when someone wanted to borrow 30 shekel, 30 saloim. And that guy gave him wheat worth 30 saloim. Later he gave him back a cheap price. He bought it back for a cheap price. But the Mishnah begins, v'habedinar zov hakur v'chein ashar k'tani. The Mishnah says that the story begins when the marketplace was of 25 sela. So therefore, Abaya, you're right. That's not the case of the Mishnah.
Why? You're right saying that your case might be accurate.
But it's not the case of the Mishnah. And the solution will be, as we already spoke out, we'll have reviewed the Semeret Hashem tomorrow morning, that we'll find another b'raisa. We're going back to Rabba's. Rabba will answer like Rabba. That the case of the Mishnah is that when do we allow... When do we say that if Yeshloi or if Yotza Hashar, it's not even Ribis Medrabanon, that's only if it's a sale. But if it becomes a loan, since you're not giving cash, it's a loan, it's already closer to Ribis and it's Ribis Medrabanon. But there's a Braisa that clearly, even here, differentiates between Yeshloi and Einloi. And if Yeshloi, it's not Ribis Medrabanon, and that will be the Tana of our Mishnah, to be continued tomorrow in Mirz Hashem.